Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this edition of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. As you heard from our brand new jingle by Paul Rose. If you haven't heard, check him out now. So, today's guest is the fantastic Vicky Midwood. Now, she runs and owns, and she's passionate about helping you be the best you are. And her company, Go Figure Coaching, helps people every day. And I'm going to let Vicky introduce and carry lessons on. So, Vicky, how do you help people every day?
I help people feel back in control of their health, their energy, their lifestyle, and most importantly, feel happy.
Love it, love it. And welcome to The Grow Show. I can't wait to speak to you more. So for the people who don't know much about Go Figure Coaching, how do you do all that?
So I look at people's whole history of their health rather than just looking at their symptoms. And my niche, if you like, is on food, nutrition, and specifically disordered eating and alcohol issues. So I tend to work with people who either know they've got disordered eating issues and they are struggling to get out of them themselves, or with people who have got problems with losing weight and going on diets but not being able to stick to them, and they're starting to get some health issues, like potentially they have been told that if they carry on as they are, they're heading for diabetes, or maybe they've got like arthritis issues and they just don't physically feel well.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So what most people don't understand is the correlation between the lifestyle choices that they make and the foods that they choose on a daily basis over years has meant that they are now feeling how they're feeling. But the beauty about Go Figure is that I can really simplify, because people think nutrition is like really complicated. There's so much information out there. And one minute you're told to eat something, the next minute you're told you shouldn't eat it. And now, nobody kind of really knows. So the biggest thing that I help people to do is remove the myths and let's talk about their body and what works for them, because ultimately one diet doesn't fit all. And when people get that they're individual and they're unique, we can start to work out what's working for them, what's not, and what needs to change. And we keep it simple. So it's baby steps that are doable, not like a massive to-do list of changing everything at once, because it's overwhelming and people just can't stick to it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, if there's too much change involved, then there's going to be a natural resistance there because you're making it complicated. So I completely agree. And I know off air, we were talking about your company and where you got a company name from. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's so simple. But for people who haven't correlated it, why did you call it Go Figure Coaching?
Because health doesn't have to be hard. Go figure. It's not complicated. And so when I tell people about the very small changes that they can make, and it's the little changes that give you the big results, they're like, is it really that simple? And I'm like, yeah, go figure. It is, but people have to do it. And this is where I come in as a coach, because so many people know what they should be doing, but it's the doing it, and it's doing the right stuff in the right order. And this is where people need help, because oftentimes if you do the wrong thing first, it makes the next thing not have the results that you hoped it would. And then you tell yourself, it's too hard, I can't do it. And it's not that it's too hard, it's just that you're doing the wrong thing at the wrong time for your body. So that's where I come in. So we kind of get an order that works with that person.
Love it, love it. And how did you get into all this?
Really, because I had issues myself. I started off in the world of exercise and health as a fitness instructor and a personal trainer, and really discovered that that was a way for me to have an excuse to stay stuck in my addiction of exercise, food, and later on serious alcoholism. And I could hide behind the facade of being this well person. But obviously I knew I wasn't. And I was trying to figure out the best way to help clients. And that's when I got seriously into how the brain works, so psychology. but also behavior patterns, so CBT, and serious nutrition. Because I wanted to help myself as much as help them, because I couldn't figure out why was I having so many problems with food. So that's kind of really how it started. And over the years, I began to have some serious issues myself. Ended up, thankfully, in rehab, got over my alcohol issues. But once I got over those, the food that I thought I was okay with came back again. And that's when I realized that although I was learning this stuff to help my clients, I needed to know it for myself too. So that's kind of really how it all came about. And it was a bit of a no-brainer to specialize in the thing that I knew.
So. Yeah, no, I completely get it. And there's so many bits of that kind of rings true for not just kind of my experiences, but everybody else's who I've heard about. The one point I just want to kind of pick up on before we kind of move on is you say that one addiction replaces another addiction.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's quite common. If you've got addictive personality or you've got traits where you're leaning towards something, it's easy to jump from one to another, to another, to another. Is that right? Or have I completely missed the mark here?
No, it is absolutely right, but not in everybody. And this is where we get an anomaly. There's a continuum of susceptibility, and some of us are right at the bottom end and some of us are nearer to the top end. And people tend to fall through that spectrum for different things. So for me, it was stuff that my body was going to break down and ingest mainly. Yeah. And the correlation with exercise kind of because we believe that you can exercise off calories. Actually, that's not quite how your body works, but that's the belief system. But for other people, it might be gambling, or it might be shopping, or it might be sex, or it might be gaming. It could be anything that gives you a feeling of well-being, and it changes you energetic. And this is the exciting part of it that I love, is that I can explain to people what's happening with their brain and with their hormones and their neurotransmitters. And sometimes it's not just the action itself that's the addiction, but it's the lead up and all of the patterns that we create, that it's the anticipation of the reward. And so for a lot of us, we can swap one from the other, but they don't necessarily have to be linked. Mine were, but they don't necessarily have to be linked. But not everybody does that. Some people can just let one thing go and that's cool. Mm-hmm. Everyone's different.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And the one thought, and I don't know, again, please shoot me down if I'm wrong about this, but if you had that unhealthy relationship between, or that addictive person where you kind of was feeding yourself not very good stuff, but then doing exercise, so outwardly you might not have seen, looked any different to anyone else. Do you reckon it was more, you know, there was a lot more people suffering from that, the same thing previous, before we found out more about nutrition, about calories and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And there are so many people who have what bulimia is the kind of the name, if you want to give something a label. And a lot of people think that that's the one, oh, that's you throwing up all the time. That can be a part of it. But bulimia is also you purging in other ways. And that may be over-exercising, starving yourself, taking laxatives. Now, I was full on, I did the lot, but not everybody does. And so oftentimes you get people who are intermittent fasting, so that they're eating a load of crap food, having a cheap meal at night, right? And then fasting the next day and working out really, really hard. And that in itself can become an addictive process. So the answer is yes. The thing is, some of it we kind of hide behind, well, this is a program that I'm following and I'm being told to do this. But for a lot of people, it's something that's really hidden and they're really ashamed of. And they don't want anyone to know about it, because oftentimes how people with disorders behave, whether it's drink or food, we don't want to be judged and we don't want to be caught in the act of stuffing our faces or glugging from the bottle or eating out of the bin or whatever it might be that we do. And so we don't talk about it. And this is the thing, it's very, very hidden. So there was a documentary back in September that Freddie Flintoff did, who was actually brought bulimia out into the open with guys. But even he was you know, he said, I don't know how I am going to get received after this program, because there's that fear. And it can be kicked off by something. For him, obviously it was in the media, but for most people it is trauma-based. And we're dealing with feelings here, we're dealing with emotions. But then you add on the fact that there is the hormones and the neurotransmitters that actually do change how you behave, how you feel, how you think. And so you've got to look at all of that together. So yeah, it's hidden, and it's often, you know, secret eating behind closed doors because I'm ashamed that I can't control myself.
And I think, wow, first of all, wow. But equally, I think that's why it's important to have these conversations, to air this, you know, so the watchers on YouTube and the listeners on their podcast platforms, wherever they are, actually can kind of resonate and go, actually, yeah, I might have a, you know, I might have an issue, or actually, do I have, how's my relationship with this? So I think that's what's important. And food, people like Freddie and yourself, you know, for sure, you know, I can't talk about it because I'm not under the impression that I have got any unhealthy kind of things that I'm working towards. That could be wrong. I don't know, but I can't say hand on heart, I've had that kind of relationship. But it takes people like you with guts who have kind of done, do you know what, actually I've been there and done that, and you don't have to do this.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, you kind of know if you've got an issue. You know, because you tell yourself what I'm doing is not normal. But you kind of hide it underneath the carpet and kind of hope it'll go away. And if you don't do it for a while, you're completely convinced that you've got it under control. And so for anybody who doesn't get this stuff, everybody comfort eats. That is completely different to you obsessing about what you're going to permit or allow yourself to eat. Through counting calories and knowing how many calories you've ingested to the nth degree, how many hours you're going to train in the gym to burn off that energy. And you bargain with yourself. You know, most normal people don't do that. If, like a lot of people in the whole lockdown scenario, put on some weight, right? Because stress, without a shadow of a doubt, makes you eat. We're around our homes more, so you're going to go in and out the kitchen more, and you're just kind of, oh, I'll pass the fridge, I'll open it. But then if your clothes are getting a bit tight, you're probably going, do you know what, I need to pull back and be a bit more sensible. And people will do that, and it's all fine. Somebody with disordered eating can't seem to be able to do that. So they know it's happening, and they want to be able to take control, but they just feel overpowered by the compulsion to just do it. And you know if that's you, whether it's food or drink, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah. You mentioned hormones before. So what kind of role does hormones play in the whole gambit of it?
So our body, basically hormones are messengers. Right, just think of them as like your postman, if you like, right, walking down your street daily, and he's going to, you know, post the right kind of messages to the right part of your body for it to do the right thing. And your body likes to keep things, where possible, in balance. We're always going to have a bit of this going on, and that's fine. But we've got hormones that monitor appetite and how full we are. We've got hormones that help us to sleep. We've got hormones that help us to get ready to fight or run. Most people have heard of cortisol, adrenaline, and those kinds of things. But we've also got neurotransmitters that are linked to our emotional state and our hormones. Things like dopamine, many people have heard of, which is your reward, if you like. Things like serotonin is referred to as you being happy. Things like GABA, which is your calming down hormone, and things like acetylcholine, which also are important for the others to regulate. And there's a whole host more. But all of these things are affected by the foods that we choose to eat. And blood sugar levels, our sleep, the amount of exercise that we're doing, and our emotional state. So how stressed or calm we are. And those things are then going to dictate whether you are going to turn to the foods that set you off on a binge, or usually the same foods can make you feel calm too. or whether you are going to decide that you need to do something different to just change your emotional state. So it might not be food. It might be that you need to jump on a bike or go for a massive run. But those hormones are going to dictate not just that, but also your thinking as well, because everything's connected to everything else. So how we think and feel is related to the food that we eat, food and mood, right? Massively connected. If you're in a bad mood, if you're sad and upset, you probably want to go to foods that comfort you. If you're angry and stressed, you're going to do the same, but they're possibly going to be different foods. And so this will affect the messages about how full you are, how hungry you are, but all of these hormones have receptors. And what happens is that the more we lift up or elevate certain hormones, the body gets overwhelmed, because I said it likes balance. So it will switch off some of the receptors because it's going, there's too much of this hormone here. I need to downregulate it. And so then what happens is we need to binge more often, or we need to drink more. And all of a sudden, you've got into this addictive pattern that you didn't set out to have. But it happens over time. And this is where suddenly you were in control of it, and then it seems to have taken control of you. So that's kind of where the hormones come in. And this is why just talking about what's going on in your head and how you're thinking and feeling, although massively important, we can't dismiss how you are eating when you're not binging and playing around with your lifestyle choices and your self-care. And this is crucial. Because oftentimes there's a big disconnect between our head and our body, but they're all interlinked by your vagus nerve. And so we got to look at the whole hormonal system, the whole neurobiological, physiological aspect to be able to get people free. Because we can look at the physical, we can look at the mental, we can look at the emotional all separately. But unless you look at them all together, you're going to struggle to get over this stuff permanently. Something will always crop back in because you missed out a piece of the puzzle.
So you've got to follow the steps. You've got to do it in sequence.
You've got to do it together, but you've got to do it in the right order for where your starting point is and what you can handle. And everybody starts differently. You know, some people might just overeat or binge eat every now and again, and they kind of know what sets them off. But other people find that they're doing it every single day. Some people are doing it multiple times a day. And that was me. They want to throw up every single meal because they don't want to have the food inside them. And there's a massive link to trauma that often kicks off. And it starts with body image, often on a desire to lose weight, to change how we look, because we believe if we change how we look, we'll change how we feel. And here's the kicker. And for anybody who's been through this and got out of it the other side, even when you've lost the weight, that miraculous, I've done it now, I feel great, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And you're still then stuck in the patterns and the process, and you go deeper down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
But there is a way out.
We've got, Yay. So we're coming to the kind of near the end of the interview, but there's one bit I just want to ask you before. It's about the 4 R's. Can you explain the 4 R's to our listeners and watchers in, minute or so, or a couple of minutes?
Yes. Yeah, so we were talking about having to do all of the bits together instead of one and then the other and then the other. So what we do is we in the program that I help people with, it's called the Eating Freely Program, and it's over 20 weeks. I don't coach people week on week because obviously you have to have time to actually put the stuff into practice and see how it feels and see what works for you and if anything needs changing. But we work on, firstly, we work on reducing the amount of times you binge, right? We also look at rehabilitating the gut and your whole lifestyle and your health, the cellular health. And we do that at the same time, because if you're going to be rehabilitating your gut, you're going to be making different food choices, which will then mean that you will reduce the amount of times you binge. We also, along with that, are resetting your habit patterns. Because if you're binging less, you're going to be doing other things instead. So that's going on at the same time. And while we're doing all of that, we're looking at rehabilitating and reprogramming your thought process and crucially language, because we think in words, and how we think very much dictates how we feel and our belief system. So it's reduce, it's rehabilitate, it's reset. And it's then absolutely reprogram how we then move forward and live the rest of our lives so that we no longer need to do that stuff that helped us to cope.
Love it. Love it. And if people want to find more information about that, how can they? I've got a website, social media, throw it out there.
Yes, absolutely. So on my website, which is gofigurecoaching.com, you just literally go onto the homepage and you can see that there's the eating freely information. Have a little read of it. That will take you to the main Eating Freely website as well. So I am one of a number of certified Eating Freely therapists, and you can check out the whole program, who devised it and the hows and the whys, and read loads of testimonials. And then you can just literally book in for a free 30-minute consultation with me to discover if actually this is the program for you. And if it is, great stuff. We can start when you're ready to start. And if it's not, I can help you in other ways as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now, as I said before, I think it's really important to have this conversation and to air everyone's kind of experiences out. If you're going to kind of share, and I kind of want to finish off this interview with this. So thank you very much for your time. But what would be your one big thing, your one big takeaway that you want everyone to leave this interview with?
The one big takeaway has to be you only have one body and one brain. And you have to love yourself by taking care of how that body and brain function. Compassion is key. You can be free and be joyous and be happy as long as you love yourself.
Brilliant. Vicky, thank you so much for your time.
Welcome.
Let's chat maybe in the new year. Let's catch up after Christmas. And everybody, please check out Vicky on social media, on her website, check out our program, connect with her, ask her any questions. And yeah, Vicky, thank you very much. And thank you very much for everyone watching and listening today.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.